Now, I'm going to hand over to for the next half an hour to the Alpha team, who are going to tell us about Alpha, and then we're going to worship, and then we're going to pray for each other. We may pray as part of the Alpha thing as well. I just wanted to set the scene a little. Most of you will have heard about Alpha. It's easily the most effective way of introducing people to Jesus that is running in the world at the moment. I mean, it's just, you know, in China, they've authorized it as a good thing to do, because people who go through Alpha end up as better citizens. It's extraordinary. It's quite extraordinary. It's a formally agreed program in China. More people are doing it there than doing it here, but millions of people are doing it, and it's the second best known symbol of being a Christian, the Alpha logo. That's the second most recognized after the cross. It's a fabulous thing. So we want to. We can't think of anything better, so we're going to join in and do it. And for the first time in, I think, probably 20 years, churches across Leeds are doing something significant together. It's really exciting. We feel God's on the move across Leeds, wanting to challenge what's going on and change and rescue people. And one of the ways of doing this is by churches working together. So there's, at the moment, I think, 36 churches formally involved. By that, I mean they've given money. That's where you can tell. And are throwing themselves into this team together to run a whole day where we're going to do a lunchtime and an evening launching Alpha for the rest of the autumn. So people go to this event and then they join one of the courses, which the guys will tell you about a bit more. The day is going to be a really good day. We've got Nicky Gumbel, who runs Alpha. He's Mr. Alpha at the moment. He only does one thing in the UK every year. He's doing Leeds this year. And we've got Jonathan Aitken, who many of you have heard of, who used to be an MP, had to go to jail, came to faith in jail, got a fabulous story. He's doing lunchtime. So it's a really good event to invite people to, and Howard is going to tell us more about why we would do such a thing. Howard, over to you.
La la la? Okay. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. Come on. So, David's really covered off the main content of the talk. So, this will be quick. Since this service this morning was built up so much by David about the fact that we have more fun than the kids, or maybe almost an equivalent amount of fun, I thought I'd start with a little quiz. So today is a significant day, because 23 years ago, something similar happened as today. And does anyone know what that is? Correct. There you go. I wore pink. I wore a Galini pink shirt, and my sister made me wear this today. I'm still coming to terms with it, really, but there we are. Excellent. Right then, so that was the genuine point. Today is going to hopefully be interesting and motivating and multimedia, so we'll see how we get on with some videos that we filmed. Because I think that we've talked quite a lot about Alpha and the format and how it all works in this sort of setting quite a lot of time, so I didn't want to just do that again. At the end, we're going to talk a little bit about the format and citywide and how it all hangs together. But I thought that quite an interesting thing is the general topic of sharing our faith. And how and why should I share my faith? Which happens to be one of the topics on Alpha, if you've ever done it. I think there are kind of two groups of people, possibly. There's probably a spectrum, but I'll keep it simple today. There are people who find it quite easy to talk about their faith, and they really enjoy it, and they can be really eloquent about it. But actually, they get really frustrated with opportunities being arisen, because you don't want to be too pushy with people, and at the same time you don't want to to miss an opportunity. So it's like, how do I get the balance right? Then you've got other people who are maybe more quiet and shy and who don't feel very comfortable about sharing their faith. And what I'm hoping to do today is to get us to think about how we can share our faith a bit more effectively than we are currently. So, to give some real life context to this and to stop me talking, I think there's quite a lot of wisdom and experience in this in Wharfdale Vineyard. So what I did was I did some interviewing of people with a movie camera. And what I'm going to do now is going to show the first of a few of short videos which will hopefully give some insight into people's experiences and thoughts on the whole sharing of faith thing. So, just to qualify this, please note there was no favoritism shown in who I interviewed. There was no payments made. There was no sort of expectations about people being positive. And unfortunately, there are some people I interviewed who aren't on the final cut. So I apologize to you, who possibly come specially and invited friends and family to come and see this. Sorry, I've been disappointed, but I do have the originals if you want them. So the first question is kind of in response to the question, what's it like for you when you share your faith? So play the video.
How do I feel about talking about my faith? I probably don't do it that often. I certainly would need to be in quite a comfortable zone. So, for instance, at work, everybody would know that I'm a Christian. Everyone would know that I go to church because I would just be that would just come into general conversation anyway. But I'm probably not very good at breaking outside of my comfort zone and talking to people that I don't feel relatively safe in anyway.
Generally, I find it's quite difficult, a little bit embarrassing. People are quite judgmental because they think Christians are meant to be perfect. And when they get to know me, they realise I'm not very perfect at all. And that's amazing to find that out. What a shock. But
I think it's always more difficult to talk about your relationship with Jesus because it's much more personal. And it makes you stand out a lot more than just saying you go along to church, because I think if you start using the term Jesus or the name of Jesus, it can sometimes maybe cause offence or cause confusion to people, or perhaps they might think you're a little bit wacky, or perhaps from a sect or a cult or something.
People can think you're a bit of a fruitcake, really, when you start talking about that you believe in the Bible and that you believe Jesus died on the cross and that he was the Son of God and, all those things that we believe in. I think the key for me is to not be embarrassed by it, and I'm quite happy to tell people what football team I support, and, that's quite a source of embarrassment.
What team are you?
That's West Ham United.
Have you ever tried to talk to your friends about what you believe? Not at church, I mean.
Not really.
No. Do your friends ask you why you go to church?
No.
No. So they're not that bothered?
No.
Okay, the point there might be, don't work with children. but she was honest, which was great. So some interesting points you might have noticed there, which is the fact that to share your faith comfortably, you need to feel in a comfortable environment. Some people find it embarrassing talking about their faith. There's a thing about expectations that Christians are kind of perfect, and therefore we feel like we can't talk to people about our faith because we don't feel like we're perfect. So, people are going to look at us and think, well, how can you say that? You're meant to be a Christian, aren't you? Talking about Jesus makes us sound wacky or like a fruitcake. And as Niamh pointed out in that last bit there, there's not always interest. So people aren't actually bothered. They don't ask us for anything. So if it's so difficult to share our faith, then why should we bother? Well, there's a few good reasons, I'd like to think. Firstly, Jesus tells us to. In a part of the Bible written by his friend and disciple Matthew, and it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you have a pew Bible, not that we have pews, but I've always wanted to say that from my Church of Scotland background. Page 916 in your pew Bibles. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So, a few key things from that. You're the light of the world. I mean, to me, that's we were familiar with this, so we possibly just kind of gloss over that. It's almost arrogant. We're the light of the world. The world is dark, and we are light in that. That's hugely significant. Jesus kind of gives the illustration of putting a bowl over this light, and obviously a light in those days was a candle. So I think that's quite a humorous illustration, really, of hiding a light under a bowl. And it's kind of selfish to do that. If it's dark and there's a genuine need for light, then we should let that light shine out, and that is us. And also, if we shine and let our life shine out, then it makes us accountable for our behaviour, which helps us, but at the same time, it helps other people see our faith in action. So that's the first reason. The second reason, the benefits, I've called them the benefits of being a Christian. There's obviously the fruit of the Spirit, which in Galatians 5, which is a page 1106, it goes like this. So I say, live by the Spirit. And this is basically talking about all the things which result in your life when the Holy Spirit changes you and it makes you more like these qualities. So I say, live by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. So those things are all great. Shouldn't we want to share that with other people and for them to have more of those things in their lives? We heard about healing this morning. That's another great benefit of being a Christian, that we have access to that. Not that it's for Christians, obviously, but that is something which we expect and we ask God for, and we can invest that into other people. For community, you get loads of opportunities through being involved in church. Some good, some bad, but you get to play drums and guitar and stuff that you might not do otherwise. Because it gives us a purpose, 636, Ecclesiastes 1 says this, I, the teacher, which is King Solomon, that wise king that we know of, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, are chasing after the wind. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what's good. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made reservoirs. I bought male and female slaves. I owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself. I acquired men and women singers and a harem, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. And yet I think that passage summarizes probably what maybe 95% of people in our society live for or strive for. The third reason, don't worry, there's another video soon, so I'll be shutting up soon. Third reason, because it's good news. And the difference it makes in our lives of knowing Jesus. So last week we looked at forgiveness and the fact that we all fall short of God's standards, so we all need forgiveness. However good or holy or spiritual we are, we all need forgiveness. So we have this relationship with Jesus we talk about, yeah? What does that Jesus that we know, who is that Jesus that we know, how does that apply to people around us? So do you hear people screaming at their kids just having totally lost it? Or people screaming at their husband or wife just having lost it? Does the Jesus that we know have anything to say to them or anything to offer them? Do you know people who've lost their jobs, this whole credit crunch thing, you know, some people's lives are being turned upside down. What does the Jesus that we know have to offer them? What about people who are bereaved? What about teenagers who are just kicking around with nothing really to do? They're just bored, so they'll just break things because that's fun. What if they knew Jesus? Would that make a difference in their lives? Would they be different people? What about people who are lonely, who've got no friends? What about if Jesus was in their lives? Would that make a difference to them? People who are driven by money or success to give them happiness. People who've got relationships that are broken down. People who've got health problems and the doctors have got no answers for them. People who are bitter and angry. Or even people whose lives seem to be totally great. They've got money, they've gone on great holidays, good job, really nice, well-behaved kids. Does Jesus have anything to offer them? To me, that list there, that's real people that are living around us. That's the society we live in. And Jesus came for those people. And my question is, do we honestly, deep down, really believe that the Jesus that we believe, that we have faith in and a relationship, has anything to offer them? Because I would say that massively affects how bothered we are about sharing our faith and talking to people about it. Because if we don't really believe that, then all this talk of Alpha and other, you know, invite your friends to church and we're doing this seeker-friendly event, it's all, you know, it's irrelevant. Because we don't actually believe at the end goal that Jesus has anything to offer them. So, yeah, just to turn that back then. So, sorry to suggest this, but if you're losing it with your kids, I know it possibly doesn't happen in such a great church as ours, but if you're losing it with your church, does Jesus have any answers for you? Does he help you? If I've lost my job, is Jesus relevant in that situation? Or does my faith crumble when I've lost my job? What about when my health is failing and the doctor's got no answers? What about when my life's great and I've got nothing to worry about? Is Jesus relevant to me then? I want to move on now just to talk about the whole living as a witness. Because I think people generally are too busy in their lives to actually think much about faith. It's pretty confusing, let's face it. There's a lot of religions out there. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the history of the church. And the media portrayal of Christians, that media being, you know, the news or soap operas or anything, is pretty damning and pretty unenticing. So I don't think we can just tell people what we believe and expect it to make an impact. So how can we make an impact? Next video.
I think you just have to be real and share your life with people. And people are more interested in having a relationship with you. And so you need to build that relationship and gain trust. And take it from there, really. And not set out to get people in, so to speak. And just be friends with people because you want to be friends with them. And not really have any other motive other than that. And let things happen naturally.
I don't think it's have Alpha or Numa or Explain. I think you do all three things if you have the opportunity and other things which suit your personality and fit in with the relationships that you have. You just find tools that work for you. I've invited friends along to the Alpha Supper and those that have gone on and done the course. It's been because they've been long-standing friends of mine.
So I'm not sure that I believe in sort of active evangelism. I like the thing about being a light in the world. And, you know, not a beacon necessarily, just a light. But something that was said in church this morning, the fact that as Christians and as members of the church, we are a glimmer of Jesus' presence in every situation we're in. And I like that idea of being an example, but not pushing people.
Mixing with people who aren't Christians and just being yourself and not having your church persona and your Christian friends persona and your rest of the world persona, I think that's key, and I think that's what people saw in Jesus. I think, you know, they knew that he was from Nazareth and he was just a carpenter.
I think if you're getting to know people and people are getting to know you, it's part of who you are. It identifies you as me, as Sally Ann. I am a Christian, so therefore it would come naturally into conversation. I've been to church this weekend, or, oh yeah, me and my husband might be playing in the worship. You know, that sort of thing would just come out. I can think of a mum from school who I went to her house to have my hair cut, and we were discussing all sorts of things, and she asked probably a lot of leading questions more than anything. And asked, she knew I went to church, she asked more about it. And so we chatted a lot more and talked about the sort of church I went to and why I'd chosen to go to church. And she was keen.
I don't think people are particularly interested in what you believe in. I think they are interested in what you do and how you work it out in your own life. And people are very interested in, let's say like when I was in hospital, people were quite amazed that we got meals cooked for us and stuff like that. And they were quite blown away by that. So it was all about action rather than just words or thoughts or ideas. So.
And generally, people know you're a Christian. And I suppose they should really. So if they know you're a Christian, they often know a lot more than you think they know, and they're actually waiting for the chance to ask you questions, but they think if they ask you questions, that's going to be a sort of taboo, really, because if you don't have a faith, then it's not something you talk about unless you're in a pub and you've had too much to drink. So once you give people the opportunity, when I've turned around and actually said to people, I think this, you're giving them permission to ask you questions. And I just do think it is a bit of a taboo. It's a very personal thing that we do in the West. And it shouldn't be.
When I was interviewing Julie, she was next to a mini Avery. That was the squawking in the background. It wasn't her kids. So we heard on that video that people think it's about being real. It's about not having like a conversion agenda. So when you befriend people who aren't Christians, that it's a genuine thing. You like them. You get on with them. You've got things in common. You're not there just to get them, to convert them. That it's part of your identity. So it should come out naturally, really, rather than being anything forced. And at Julie's point at the end there about people often know you're a Christian. They're just waiting for permission to speak to you and to ask you about it. And I think sometimes we can be thinking, well, I won't mention it because they've not shown an interest. And they're thinking they won't ask you because you've not mentioned it. And years pass, and you never actually talk at a deep level. So that's my experience. So, inviting people to Alpha and other things. There's a challenge for us to live our lives so that people around us see Jesus in us, yeah? But of course, if we never talk about why or what we believe or what we think about things, then people won't understand or know what the source of that light that we're shining out is. They'll think, well, they're nice, or they're very just or kind or generous or whatever, but they won't know why. And if our behavior is part of the witness which Jesus talked about, then we've got to label it. Otherwise, people will never know. But it's difficult to explain our faith. So that's why I guess some people invite people to church or a thing like Alpha, because it's a tool, it's a useful thing to do the job for you, really. It saves you the bother of having to start at the beginning, open your Bible at Genesis and explain the gospel right the way through the Bible. You can just say, hey, come along to this event, and it's step one, and it's dead easy. It'll be really quite a fun and a nice event, and then it'll lead things on, and people can go at their own pace. So I think it works for both us because it makes it easy, and it works for other people because it gives people their answers in a comfortable environment. But I think people might be a bit nervous about inviting people to stuff like Alpha and church and get a bit uptight about it. So I asked some people what their experiences of inviting people were as well. So, Nick.
I would find it easier, to invite people along to things than to explain too much myself. Partly because I think I might stumble sometimes in my explanations. And I know that bringing them along to other things, there's people much wiser than myself that can probably answer more questions if they have got them.
Somebody was in a situation of loss, and I just said, do you know, God could really help in this situation. And they said, who's God? And I said, come and find out. So it depends on the person that you're asking, but my experience on three occasions has been very positive.
So good friends of mine know what I'm about, know who I follow, and so for me to say, like with Judy last year, why don't you come along to Alpha and explore what life's all about? She's been going through some stuff, and so it just seemed to fit in, and it was very, very easy carrying on the conversation of what life was all about, where she's going and the rest of her life. And because she knows where I'm coming from, and she's my friend, she trusts me.
I don't know if I should name names. Julie invited me, and I used to work with her. And Julie's faith very impressive. Julie, the way she talks to God and talks about God, and he's a real part of her life. And she just phoned up and said, did I want to come on this course that was discussing Christianity and hoping to revitalise people's faith, because she knew I'd started going back to church again recently. And she said, come along and see what it's like. So,
with my three best friends, they've never come, and I've asked them every year for the last 10 years, and I don't know whether they ever will, but maybe that's not going to be their entry point. Maybe they've just got to stick with me banging on for the next 40 years.
You might be nervous, but actually they're not. they're wondering why you look so nervous when you're asking to something you really want to go to. So just be enthusiastic instead of nervous.
I invited my first friend, Kavita. I just rang her up and like told her what it was. I just said that my church ran it, kind of. And then so she came along and she really liked it. So I invited two of my other friends, so there's three. And then it just kept building and building. And then my friends started talking about how good it was at school. And so all of them want to come. And then we couldn't fit them all in the car.
I had a customer recently, and she lived in a block of flats with several other older ladies, and they were a real hoot, a lot of them. But this particular lady was said she had a friend upstairs and now I'd up to help her out because she had some problem with something or other. And she'd been telling me about her friend and how she'd suffered with her eyes, and she was maybe needing to go for a cataract operation. She was worried about it and she was concerned. And as I was speaking to her, I just actually, out of the blue, just said, well, with regards to your eyes, would you like me to pray for you? And she was a bit taken aback, because she was an old school Jewish lady, actually. But very once she overcome the initial shock of it, somebody asking to pray for her, she was very very happy for me to pray. And I just prayed for her by name and talked about her her fears about going in for an operation. Just asked God to give her peace. And I think it was something apparently that she talked to several of the residents about. So it made quite an impact on her.
Because I was asking a guy along to Alpha, we were just talking about public speaking. So I said, actually, I know some guy who's doing he's a really good public speaker for the Alpha lunch, so let's go to that. And he's like, yes, that'd be great. And same with that and other things. You just need a bit of courage and just to say it, just open my mouth. But as soon as I just ask, it's, what was I bothered about, really? Because he's like, yeah, it'd be great.
But as it happened, I hadn't seen them for quite a while. The Alpha Supper was coming up, and for me, my take on the Alpha Supper is more, it's a supper with Alpha. So it was easier. I just phoned them and said, look, we haven't seen each other for a while. Why don't we, I'm trying to get a table together to go out for a Chinese, and it's free. So the church just wants to get people in there and come along, have a meal, we'll have a chance to catch up, have a girly evening, a chat, and by the way, there'll be sort of a 20-30 minute presentation about Alpha, which you're under no obligation to sign up to do. And it was as simple as that, and they were like, yeah, okay. Oh, and actually, can I bring my friend? So, you know, it was fantastic. Yeah, four of them were my friends, and then, as I say, one of them wanted to invite her own friend as well.
We invite them round to parties at church, Christmas parties, summer parties, and
do your friends like you when they come to the parties?
Yes.
What do they say to you about them afterwards?
They say thank you for inviting us. We really enjoyed that.
Great. So it was mentioned earlier about children. Neve and certainly a lot of the other kids in the Star Jumps group, we have these parties where people can invite their friends from school. And the kids have got absolutely no embarrassment, fear, shame at all. They just invite friends from school. And every time we have these parties, there's 50% our kids and there's 50% kids who otherwise would never set foot inside a church. So it's really exciting. I think those kids aren't as sophisticated as us adults, where we compartmentalize their lives, their Christian bit and their non-Christian bit. And I think we need to learn from our kids. It says in Matthew 18, I don't have the page, sorry. I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So nearly done here before I hand over to somebody else. I just wanted to encourage us to think about somebody that you know, maybe one of the groups that I mentioned earlier, you know, people who've, a real person, maybe it's your next door neighbor, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's your dad or your sister, a colleague, the mum of your kid's friend, Or maybe it's you. Maybe Alpha or some other thing that we do here at Wharfdale would be helpful. I just think we should just take 30 seconds just now to think about who that person might be and what you might do about it. Okay, you can continue thinking at home. I'm going to be handing over in a second. Just finally, I wanted to give some reassurance about Alpha. For those of you who don't know Alpha, you've only seen the kind of the polished, professional Alpha's great stuff. I thought we'd do our own version of that to get some real opinions from people at Wharfdale about whether they think it's any good or not. So this last lot of clips are, of course, people from Wharfdale who've been through the Alpha course that we've run over the last couple of sessions. Let's have a quick watch.
I like the way it's packaged. I trust what they're going to say, and I know the meal's going to be good. I know the speaker's going to be good.
Well, I don't know if everybody's Alpha's the same Alpha, but this one was lovely food followed by a joke. And conversation that was directed by a video, and the video in a way was inspiring, but in a way got a bit samey week after week, but the conversation was always inspiring, the conversation was always worth being there for. So it wasn't just the food and the video, it was the discussion that went on afterwards about people and their lives and what they thought about what had been happening on the video. And it was, I think, even more than that, the warmth. Because the people who were there who were part of the vineyard, I always want to say vineyard, sorry, the people who were there who were part of the vineyard, they were so welcoming and so warm, and you felt as if you could say anything and it wouldn't be knocked down. It might be questioned, but there was nobody there saying, this is right, this is wrong, you're wrong there.
I greatly enjoyed it. I enjoyed the other people there. And I found I was really having to think. I was asking myself lots of questions about why I was there. What did I think about God?
You know, you felt you were being led down a path. But you weren't being forced down a path. And you weren't being told that you had to walk in this particular way.
People can challenge and say whatever they want and feel like it's completely safe to say, well, that sounds like a pile of rubbish. It's okay to say it in an Alpha setting. Whereas you say that to somebody that's a Christian that you're having a one-to-one with, they could be potentially really offended. So there's not that freedom of speech as much, I think, in one-to-one relationships as there would be in an Alpha group where everybody's kind of questioning and trying to figure it out.
It didn't seem to start as a religious meeting, as I would have thought a religious meeting would. It seemed to be just a group of like-minded people just sitting and, you know, and having a chat and sort of discussing things. And then as it moved, and then it moved comfortably for me as someone who's, you know, kind of sceptical. It moved at a comfortable pace into the religious aspect. And it wasn't as if there was a sort of, it wasn't as if suddenly the whole atmosphere changed at all. It was just a natural progression into discussions of more specific topic, like Christianity.
That was a really exciting thing for me. I weren't sure about, what's the fella's name?
Nicky Gamble.
Yeah, Nicky Gamble. I weren't sure about what it was going to be like, what the talks would be like, but for me, going to a couple of talks, I thought that was excellent, just in terms of information. But it was really simple and really exciting. And from that, you know, people's lives have been changed. So I think Alpha's an excellent talk.
It changed my expectations of Christian talks. And if I seem far more honest and yeah, just more interesting and different from normal sermons that I've heard.
I think it works because it is non-threatening and it just really gives you the chance to explore the fundamentals. And some of us have been Christians for a lot of years and perhaps we don't really know why we believe. We get tied up sometimes in what we do and forget why we do it. And so it's really good in terms of just giving you a really simplistic approach. And the DVDs are really good because, you know, it's Nikki Gumbel, it's somebody separate. They're not having to form a relationship with someone and judge their character and weigh up the validity of what they're saying. They're just watching the DVD and then you're all coming away and discussing that. So it feels like you're all on the same side rather than you're being told what to believe by somebody else. I think the format really works.
A really lovely way to introduce people to the Jesus that we love.
It's very, for me, it's a good way to be introduced to the ideas and not to feel pressurised at all into the idea that I have to, that I can't be part of, you know, I can't be part of it if I'm not a strong believer at the moment. The idea that, you know, at some point in the future I may or may not, you know, become a Christian. But
yeah, I got this thing about born-again Christians and the way they smile all the time. Because they do. People come to school and I remember saying to Stuart, once you tell he's a born-again, you know that grin, does he never stop smiling? And I feel I've got it. I feel like I walk down the street and just smile and smile and smile. I feel so joyous. It's absolutely, you know. And that's coming to Alpha. That's the singing and the talking and the praying. Not this time, the time before, the time when I was in the middle and you all laid hands and prayed for me. I've never felt so good in years.
I give it a big thumbs up.
Great, there you go. Hopefully some unbiased opinions there. Ganita and I have kind of been heading up Alpha for the last year or two, and we're going to continue to kind of look after it. But this citywide and the groups that are going to go on there are going to be looked after by a far superior couple. So I'm just going to hand over to them now, who are going to talk to us a little bit more.
Hello there. We're both excited about getting involved with Alpha again this year. And Richard and Sally. Sorry. So we're going to talk about two things, the citywide Alpha launch and the Alpha course itself, which we'll be running, and also how you can get involved either through inviting friends or sort of volunteering yourself. So I'll just hand over to Sally.
Hello, I'm Sally. So I'm just going to mention how excited we are about Citywide Alpha. It is really exciting. Churches across Leeds are working together, and it's great to see people who are not doing things the way everybody would think Wharfdale does it, things that people have got different approaches, and it's just really exciting that everyone's working together. But just to sort of let you know, there's some leaflets that we've put onto the chairs, there's some on the tables, there's some at the resources desk if you want more information. It's on Friday the 2nd of October. There are two events that day. The first is a lunchtime event from 1 till 2 p.m. where there's a free lunch, and the speaker will be Jonathan Aitken, as David mentioned, who is a former MP and is a very good speaker. And anybody is welcome to come to that. There's a second event the same day, Friday the 2nd of October, in the evening, which starts at 7 and finishes at 9, so there's definite start and end points. And that is, there are some canapes, sort of snacks, and there's a cash bar, but there's no supper provided at that. And there are three main speakers at that. Rosemary Connolly, who's a fitness guru, and she does sort of health and dietary advice. Cameron Stout, who is a former Big Brother winner. And Nikki Gumbel is giving the main talk for that, but these other people are giving their testimonies on it. And there are tickets. We've got some tickets available today. They are only for people who are... Duncan's waving them over at the resources desk. They're only for people to have if they're bringing friends along with them. You can't just turn up as a Christian person wanting to sort of see what's going on without bringing people, because we don't have enough tickets to give out otherwise. So we'd love people to take tickets and give them to their friends and relatives, but if you find that you don't need them or you can't give them away, then please return them. If you want more, then come and find us and let us know if you need some more tickets. there's some publicity being involved. If anybody's around on the 28th of September, that's a Monday, there's going to be some flyers given out at the town hall. I didn't say where it was. It's Leeds City Town Hall. And we need lots of people to help out on the day. That's in the form of carrying around food, welcoming people, helping to set up and set down again, serving drinks and showing people to their seats. There's a lot of need there. So if anybody wants to get involved, we've got some sign-up sheets on the resources desk. Please put your name and help out. That would be great.
Brilliant. And what the Alpha guys for the citywide are saying is, if you invite 10 people, you might get 3 to actually come to the launch, and 1 person might actually sort of attend the course itself. So get out there and sort of start inviting people like the people on the video have shown. In terms of the course itself, we'll be starting on, when is it now?
7th.
The 7th. When is it the 7th? We'll start at 7:30 until just before 10 o'clock. We'll have a meal provided, a talk, and a discussion, and that's the general format. We also need people to get involved with that. If you can, that'll be at the Vineyard Center. If you can help with either sort of baking a cake or helping out with arranging lifts or anything like that, or helping in a small way, please also sign up there. It'd be great to get everyone involved. And 2 great events, and they're all part of one. It's exciting because the whole of Leeds is going to get involved. So come and get involved, and it'd be great. Thanks.
Fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a great autumn. Alex, would you come and lead us in worship? We're going to, the band are just going to play through some songs for the next 20 minutes or so. It's an opportunity for us to turn our attention to this Jesus we've been talking about and invite him to come and fill us. It's about an opportunity to tell him we love him and to hear him speak to us. So can I invite you to stand? You don't have to stay standing, but you've been sitting for a long time, so get some blood circulating around your limbs. And then if you want to dance, there's space at the back. If you want to raise your hands or kneel, that's absolutely fine. Just be careful when you put your hands out not to hit the person next to you. Use this time as an opportunity just to come close to Jesus. Pray during this time for friends who you might want to invite to Alpha. Pray for the team running Alpha. Pray for Nikki Gamble and Jonathan Aitken. Let's bring our thoughts together and let's spend the next time worshiping Jesus. The words will be up on the screen, and Alex and his band will lead us. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the things you do for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us a purpose. Thank you for blessing us with the presence of your Holy Spirit so we may see your gifts and your fruit. We think you're wonderful, and we want to turn our attention to you now and sing of our love for you. We ask you to come and to minister to us as we do this. In Jesus' name.